Okay, hello, how are we? Welcome back. So I hope you all liked the last episode. I have been getting a good couple of messages about just the episodes in general. So I really do, I just want to say this first of all, I really do appreciate all the messages, all the lovely feedback, even just given 20 to 30 minutes of your time. And I hope that you always take one, even if it's one little small thing or one light bulb moment, because sometimes I can get into my head and I'm like, oh, like, you know, why are you even doing this? You know, does anybody even listen? And of course you can get into that, but I always have to remind myself why I ever even started doing a podcast in the first place, or social media in general. Like, I definitely get sucked into that loop because my job does involve social media, coaching, sharing my tips or my advice or my life advice, whatever it might be. I get into that habit of, like, maybe it's imposter syndrome or just self-doubt in general of, like, who even cares? Who's ever gonna listen to you? You know, nobody really cares what you have to say. And I know a lot of people struggle with that too, but I always remind myself that, like, the reason I even got back doing a podcast in the first place was because I actually like to talk. I like to talk about these things. I like to talk about things that are interesting to me. And that's also another thing that I wanted to talk, well, not that I want to talk about, I just briefly touch on it because it's actually what's after coming up in my head there. As I mentioned, that was, like, that's why I remember when I first started social media, I didn't really have a great maybe understanding of myself. There was a big part of me that maybe just wanted to grow my following. And I definitely think, like, when looking back, there was a lot of, like, which we're going to talk about now. But anyway, sorry, I'm getting, like, pulled over in many different directions. I'm getting pulled in many different directions. But today's topic, I want to talk about dysfunctional families, okay? And that actually leads me back to the previous point I was just making, is that I think there was a lot of wounds of mine that I just wanted to be validated, I wanted to be seen, I wanted to be liked. And I think that that's a normal thing in today's society. I think every human wants to be seen, wants to be validated, wants to be heard, and wants to be a part of a community. I do think that that's actually in, like, so deeply ingrained in a generational thing. Like, we've always been a part of communities and tribes. So it's not out of the ordinary. So if anybody else is like, I want that as well. But that is definitely one of the reasons. Like, I remember being so focused. I think this was back in, like, COVID times, 2020. And everybody was so focused on just growing social media. Everybody became a blogger. And I do remember a big chunk of my life then was very concerned about followers. And when it didn't go in a certain way, or when I wasn't grown, I definitely thought there was something wrong with me, and there was something wrong with, like, the message I was sharing and everything else. Now, eventually I worked through that, so thank God for that. I'm delighted about that. But yeah, that leads me obviously before all of this, was that that's why I don't ask. Like, I'll never put on my social media, like, what do you guys want to see? Or, you know, what does anybody want to hear from me? And that's not in a way that, like, I don't want to help people, or I don't want to talk about certain things. Like, if somebody texts me and asks me to do something or talk about something, and if it was, like, super aligned with me, I'd have no problem doing it. But that's why I feel like some people can be very out of alignment, because they're asking other people what they should do with their life and their content. And even with my podcast, like, I do this because I actually like to talk about these topics, and I know what it's like to also be on the receiving end of someone else's podcast and have such a light bulb moment that I'm like, oh my God, wow, that has, like, really, like, it takes one person to say one thing just one way, and you could have such a light bulb moment that it honestly changes, like, literally the course of how you think. And I've had so many moments, like, with best friends, having, like, deep conversations with them, listening to other people, you know, engaging with other people's podcast content, whatever it might be, that it has completely even changed some of my beliefs or got me thinking in a different way. And that's all I can ever hope for in these podcasts. So anyways, that was supposed to be one sentence about how I appreciate all of you who listen, and it turned into an absolute tangent. So anyways, today I want to talk about dysfunctional families. And the reason I want to talk about this is because somebody did message me and they said they could really relate to briefly when I had mentioned about a dysfunctional family, me growing up in a dysfunctional family, sorry, in one of my previous episodes. And before I start this, we are by no means, like, anyone who's listening and anyone who even agrees with me, by no means are we attacking our family? Are we trying to blame our family? Are we trying to hate people or anything along those lines? Okay, I'm only in this episode, I only ever want to bring my experience and what I have learned over probably the past 2 years now. And yeah, hopefully it might help one other person even just feel a little bit less alone, because I don't see a lot of people talking about dysfunctional families a lot, to be quite honest with you. So yeah, it's something that I kind of want to get into. Where do we even start? let's just even talk about what a dysfunctional family is. So this is literally Google's definition. So it's characterized by persistently unhealthy or abusive interactions that impair members' well-being. Okay, so let's just look at the key characteristics of like a dysfunctional family as such. Unhealthy communication, conflict, misbehavior, lack of boundaries, emotional neglect, parental challenges, role reversals, unhealthy family dynamics, secrecy, denial, lack of empathy, unpredictability. When I'm listing all of those, I am able to have such empathy for my mom and dad, because I'm like, God, like the stuff that I struggle with now, I know that has all been, you know, a lot of that has come from my family, but I can only imagine that it was the same for them growing up, that they were only passed down everything from their mom and dad. And it's just like such a generational thing that like you learn off your caregivers literally form who you become, and we don't even sometimes realize it. So everything that you might be struggling with, from your attachment style to your patterns, to what you believe about yourself, to, you know, those negative limiting beliefs that you have, to the emotions that you struggle with, it all comes from your family. And this is why I said it's not a blame thing, because as I'm reading all of them, I'm like, God, like some of those things I could, like I struggle with lack of boundaries now, and I'm sure my mom and dad struggled with lack of boundaries, and I'm sure their mom and dad struggled with lack of boundaries, and it's just like a constant cycle. But when I started to go on the journey of working on myself, I wanted to become the better version, and I've talked about this in previous episodes, a better version of myself, emotionally wise, boundary wise, you know, how I viewed myself, how worthy I thought I was. And genuinely, I got on this journey because I was like, I wanted more self-love basically. And I genuinely thought, okay, if I do the work, my life on the outside is gonna look completely different. And to be quite honest, it's not that it doesn't look completely different, it definitely does, but it's actually more so on the inside, how I feel in really difficult situations has changed massively. So when I first started this journey, I was brought, like, mainly all of the work that I done with regards to my family dynamic was actually got to do with my inner child, because there was massive, massive parts of my younger self that wasn't healed at all, that had gone through so much in my eyes, okay? Everybody else, I could sit here and be like, someone else has it worse off, someone else has it worse off. Everybody has their own baggage that they grow up with. It doesn't make anybody else's worse off, it doesn't make anybody else's better off. It just is what it is. Like for me, what I went through, and I say that in the least dramatic way possible, I just grew up as a child who, you know, a mom and dad weren't together, like probably a lot of households, but also households that are together, children can still be left with a lot of baggage, even if the parents are still together. And like I said, I don't think that this is any, we're not looking to place blame as such. And you can see already, I'm like monitoring myself as I'm speaking, and I can just see my hesitancy coming through, because I don't want anybody to take this obviously up in any way the wrong way as such. But when I was going through unlearning my own patterns, like my own lack of boundaries, why I thought so poorly of myself, like, you know, why I thought I wasn't worth much, it all came back to my younger self. And I realized very quickly that I struggled with like massive, massive abandonment wounds. And it's something that I'm actually going through currently, is that like feeling that abandonment wound again. And yeah, it just came from obviously not really having my dad in the picture. He's in the picture now, which is fantastic. And my mom being somewhat emotionally unstable as well, in the sense that she reared me, but emotionally not really there. She would have been drinking a lot as well when I was younger, so emotionally I don't feel she was there for me, but she was very present in my life. And at the end of the day, now I know as an adult, like if somebody can't be emotionally there for themselves, how do you ever expect them to be there for you? And it's her first time at life too. Now I have gone through literally 2 years of this experience of like, I went through a period, I think when I first moved to Bali, and it was like, I had to go through so much anger towards my mom, because I grew up honestly like daddy's girl, because dad wasn't in the picture much, so I probably craved a lot of his validation because he wasn't there much. And I saw my mom as like the issue, and she was always giving out to me, or she was the problem, or she was this, or she was that. And yeah, I remember going to Bali for the first time obviously, and I was like, I had so much anger towards my mom. We weren't close at all. I live with my mom, but we genuinely weren't close at all, and wouldn't really speak, you know, even in my family dynamic, like the communication. I just think that also this is like a pure Irish generational thing, that like we don't communicate well, and we brush things under the rug and we act like they never happened. And that's exactly what would happen in my family. And yeah, when I went to obviously Bali, I was going through all of this, and I was like reliving childhood moments of like potentially where I felt I had been forgotten or emotionally neglected, and just different things like that. And they were really hard to go through. And I think that that's where my anger and everything came from. Like, I couldn't understand why me and my mom were never close, but my household, like, she wouldn't open up much, I wouldn't open up much. And you could see how in it, like, when it would just be me and her living here. And I do have an older sister, but she doesn't live here. Like, she's like 13 years older than me, so there's a big age gap. So she didn't live here, and there was always such a, you know, like, I always joke, but you could literally hear a pin drop in my house because it's so quiet. And like, I wouldn't be the type that I'd go down and like proper be filling my mom in and everything else. So anyways, we always had such a weird dynamic, I personally feel, and anyways, growing up. Yeah, it was only until I went through all of like probably some of the childhood memories that I had remembered, and I had gone through them and I had felt them and I had cried about them numerous of times. I really felt like I was obviously shedding these layers, especially the abandonment wound that I was struggling with, like constantly feeling like, and this is where it was coming up for me in romantic relationships, I was constantly feeling like people were going to leave me. And because I thought people were going to leave me, I would constantly people please. And I'd you know, I'd step like well beyond my boundaries, like my boundaries were non-existent. So I would let people treat me poorly, I would disrespect my own boundaries, I would abandon myself because I always thought people were going to abandon me. And instead of wanting to lose that person, I would abandon myself to keep hold of that person, basically. And what I mean by this is something that I do feel a lot of us could struggle with, if you do feel like you struggle with the abandonment wound, is that we're not actually scared of people abandoning us. We're actually so afraid of, if somebody does try to leave in our life, what are we going to do to stop them? And it's that exact sentence that we're afraid of. We're afraid of, are we going to abandon ourselves if somebody tries to leave our life? So are we going to neglect ourselves? Are we going to step over all of our boundaries? Are we going to chase? Are we going to allow disrespect? Are we going to allow someone to treat us poorly because we believe that the best thing to do is to hold on to this person because that's the safest option. The safest option is to not feel abandonment. And that's the one thing that I want to get through here, is that like your most formative, I'm probably doing this episode backwards, but I hope you follow along. The most formative years are from 0 to 7 of your life. So they're where you learn a lot. They're where you take on patterns that you see your mom and dad having. One isn't present. You know, you might always crave the validation. You might struggle with that abandonment if, you know, parents broke up or they split at a very young age. I can tell you obviously what you're going through in your own family dynamic, but I can talk about, like I said, my experience and how that has played out for me. So big people pleaser, especially when it came to romantic relationships, because I do feel what I have learned is that you will always meet your mom or your dad usually in a romantic relationship, and this is just to be your teacher. So everybody I see is like a mirror of myself. So when I was in these relationships, they were mirroring so many parts of myself or things that I believed about myself, or they were just showing me parts of myself that I needed to work on. Specifically, like I said, the people pleasing, the inability to speak up, to voice up, to stand up for myself, my lack of boundaries, all of the things I didn't have was shown to me in romantic relationships. And I didn't understand it at the time, and I could never see it like this until I was actually doing the work on my inner child, and I was like, oh my god, wow, like I am so sorry that you, like, these are the things I genuinely had to say to myself. I was like, well, to my younger child, I was like, I'm so sorry that I allowed people to treat you so poorly, and I also treated you so poorly. Like, I forget, like, a lot of the wounds that I had from growing up in a quote-unquote dysfunctional family was, you know, led me down the path of anorexia, eating disorders, control of my food, control of my body. Like, I forget the pain that put on me. And that's really hard because I'm so, like, I've talked about this many times, but sometimes you're so maybe disconnected from that experience that you forget the pain that I was actually going through, even with the binging and everything else. Like, all of that was down to how I viewed myself and what I believed about myself. And yeah, the fact that, like, at one point in my life, especially with the binging side of things, I actually just didn't think my life was worth much. I don't know, it just allowed me to see how poorly, when I was reflecting, how poorly I actually did view myself, you know, that I was able to go through all of that because I genuinely thought I wasn't worth literally anything. And that's really difficult because when parents, like, emotionally neglect or, you know, step over your boundaries or don't respect your boundaries, or yeah, it's just like an unstable household, you then grow up believing that you sometimes deserve that because you're a child at the end of the day. You just take it at face value, have the ability to think like you, the way you would as an adult. Like, now I have empathy, now I can understand something, but as a child I didn't. So of course you're just taking these things as you're growing up and you're like, oh god, maybe I deserve that, or, you know, maybe it was a me thing, or like a parent walked out, oh god, like, was that maybe because of me? And that's where you start to associate these things of like, maybe it was a me issue and you think that you're always the problem then, when in reality that's just not, that's not it at all. But of course you're going to believe that at a very young age. I suppose for me it was a lot of like inner child work of realizing this. I didn't actually see anything wrong with my family dynamic until I actually went back to my inner child and I was like, oh god, yeah, like that wasn't right, or that wasn't nice, or I didn't deserve that. But I, like I said, I had to go through all of that anger and the crying and the, you know, maybe thinking my mom, it was my mom's fault, and whatever I needed to go through. Now none of that was actually ever directed at her, because I was in Bali, which was great. And it was actually funny how it all panned out, because Bali was probably the best thing that ever happened to me and my mom's relationship. And now, like, sitting on the other side of it, is this to say that I don't struggle with any of my wounds or any of the things that I've grown up with? No. But do I want to live in the constantly in the past with these things? Absolutely not. So my goal is to continue healing my inner child, is to continue showing up for myself, to give myself all of that love that I know I deserve, that maybe I didn't, that I, not that maybe, I didn't receive at a very young age, or I didn't feel at a very young age. You know, they wouldn't have been very expressionate, and they wouldn't have said, you know, I love you, or, you know, physical touch wasn't really a thing. And it's funny, because now in romantic relationships, I can see that all of the things that I crave in a romantic relationship, like quality time, affirmations, physical touch, like these are all things that I didn't receive at a young age. So now I love them, and they do actually make me feel so loved. Yeah, it's just, it's an interesting one for you to even reflect on, maybe all of the things that you do crave in a romantic relationship. And also, some of you might have grown up in grey households where, you know, your parents were very affectionate and very loving, and you might have different things that you're going through. So no one's like, no one's better off or worse off. This is just obviously, like I said, my experience. But back to, yeah, coming home from Bali, it was like the best thing. I think space and time done us the world of good. And I know a lot of people, I've seen a lot of people talk about that online, you know, when they leave home, they actually have better relationships with their mom and dad and stuff like that. And that's so nice to hear, because mine was the exact same. I came home and honestly, I can't explain the flip and the switch, even in my mom. Like, she's so much more affectionate, she's so much more loving, she always says I love you now, she has grown so much. And I don't know if that's just because she actually was able to get in touch with the emotions she felt for me when I was gone, which is, like, you know, quite funny. But yeah, and now I have so much empathy and love for her, and I can actually get in touch with that. Like, for me, staying in Ireland, like, and going to Bali for 6 months, even though I was supposed to be there for a month, it didn't really bother me staying 6 months, because in my eyes, it's not that I didn't have anything to come home to or anything like that. It was just more so I didn't have that really good connection with my mom or my dad, or to be quite honest, my family. Like, love them, but I didn't have that like deep connection that some people do have. So me leaving home, like, it didn't really affect me. And now this time around, like, even the thought of going on holidays, like I'm going to Thailand and Bali in the summer, but even the thought of leaving for like a month or two, I'm like, oh god, my poor mom, you know. And I haven't experienced that since a very young age, which is so nice to be back in touch with. Yeah, like I said, it completely changed their dynamic. But I do feel, and this is something that we always speak in Soulful Sundays and even in the project, because the girls are obviously realizing patterns and limiting beliefs that they had from a very young age, and it's quite empowering to realize these things, but it can also be quite emotional and it can be quite heavy. And it's just to honor that it's not about, you might have to go through a stage of blame and anger, but you will find your way back to empathy as you hear your inner child and you give her, it's almost like you have to reparent your inner child. And that's exactly what I've done, and I still will continue to do, because I'm not quote unquote fully healed or by any means. But you'll continue to reparent your inner child, and through this then you will be able to just have so much compassion and like empathy for your parents, because they were only doing their best and they were handed down, you know, whatever wounds they had from their mom and dad, and that's how they ended up exactly how they ended up. And as you can see, like, it's only now in Ireland, which is like 2025, that like the wellness is popping off and people are becoming that bit more self-aware and stuff like that. But can you imagine it being 40, 50 years ago or whatever? Like, there was none of this. There was no awareness. And you can only come in with that knowledge as an adult to get in contact with that compassion for yourself. So yeah, I do think it'll be a cycle of, like, for anybody who's going through it or wants to heal for this, I do think it's a lot of like you actually reparenting your younger child from whatever belief that might be. You know, it mightn't be abandonment for you, but it might be something else. And, you know, I think we had a beautiful Soulful Sundays that was actually teamed around inner child last week. And one of the things that came up was about growing up too quickly. And this can happen a lot when again, our moms and dads don't really know much, and they put a lot of their problems onto you, and you aren't like sheltered in a way. Like a lot of children do experience that, where they're kind of open to all of the mom and dad's issues, whether that might be marriage issues, money issues, whatever it might be. You take that on as a child because you don't know anything. What a parent says goes, essentially, and you're just like, all you want as a child and your nervous system just wants to always feel safe. So if you grow up, that's exactly how I can describe this, is that I grew up in a household that didn't feel safe really ever. And so now that's like when your nervous system is wired for not safety, you just constantly are looking for things to make you feel safe. And when you have to feel these difficult emotions, whether it be like abandonment or whatever your wounds are, it's not safe to feel those. So you will do everything you can to not feel those, because going back to those makes it feel like life or death situation. And that's exactly what it is as a child. Like when you hear about these grown-up issues as a child, you take that as life or death. You know, it's just black or white, because you don't have that rational brain that can come in as an adult, because you're a child. So you don't have that awareness to be able to question these things. So you just take that as face value. So this is how also like it can turn into like that lack mindset, and you can always be in lack, especially if you grew up in lack, like lack of love, lack of money. And there's so many different avenues. God, I could talk for a bloody hour on this, and I think that we're already 25 minutes in. But that's just been my experience with a dysfunctional family today after listening to this. It's like, what would heal your inner child a little bit more? Like what does your inner child crave? Like, I know I loved sports when I was younger. I loved laughing. I loved all of the playfulness. So for me to not take life too seriously would be tapping back into those things. So maybe what do you need, or what can you heal your inner child with? I do apologize though, because I feel like I've kind of gone off on many different tangents, but I hope everybody kind of understands where I was getting at. And as well, I think it's not like I never came home, thankfully, wanting to change my mom and dad. Like I just accept them for who, like, not that I accept them for who they are. I don't think I'm even at that place, to be quite honest with you, but I don't try and change them, because I do feel they are the older generation. They don't get anything really that I do. They're open to listening to it, which is fantastic. But I can see even my dad, like, he's so set in his ways. He's so set in his beliefs. And yeah, I'm not. It's almost like it would honestly take me too much energy to even try and convince them. So I don't really try and waste my energy on, yeah, trying to convince them that they need to maybe work on themselves, because I don't feel like that's my job. I feel like my job is only to work on myself in the nicest way. I mean that in the least selfish way. But I know a lot of people out there can't. They just want to shake people around them. And I know I definitely have that even with friends, or like I said, romantic partners, where I'm just like, oh my God, if you just do this, you know, this could really help. And you want to shake people and you want to fix people. And that's also where fixing can come in. Like I definitely would describe myself as a fixer when it comes to relationships. I just want to help people. And I think that actually gives me a lot of validation. And I know a lot of other people potentially be feeling that as well, is that you just want to, you know, you want to help fix people because it gives you that validation, whether it's chosen, whether it's, you know, a hit of self-worth. But yeah, that's like been many different tangents there. But I hope it helps somebody feel that little bit less alone in understanding their own family dynamic. Like, I don't know what anybody else's family dynamic is like, but I know a lot of people from doing Soulful Sundays, actually a lot of people, whether their moms and dads are together, whether they're split up, whether they went through a divorce when they were younger, whether they're, again, like I said, still together to this day, we all have some level of quote-unquote trauma, right? And I say that in inverted commas because I've talked about this before, but trauma to you is completely unique and nobody can tell you otherwise. Doesn't mean that you have to live in the past. So this is the one thing that I do want to get across, is that you do have the ability to heal from everything that you went through at a young age. Now, I bear in mind that obviously some people have also probably gone through really, really bad things, and that's their journey to obviously go through and heal from and whatever. I'm not going to sit here and say you need to forgive people or feel like that's somebody's journey that's so unique to them that I don't have the right to obviously tell people essentially what to do. But I know for me personally, I'm going to continuously be doing this work because I'm not at a place where I'm like wholeheartedly whole or like full of self-love. I still have my doubts. I still have my things to work through. I still have boundaries to implement, especially more so in my romantic life, because I feel like my friendship life is pretty good. But yeah, I just want to let you know that you can obviously heal from all of these things, and it is possible. And I do feel from my journey the way through all of it, all of your wounds, all of the things that you carry forward with you, all of the self-doubt, all of the lack of self-love, all of it is by going back to your inner child. and telling her that she's good enough, that she deserves all the love, that she needs to be reparented. And this is obviously, this goes into so many different things that I don't want to make this podcast really long, but it goes into your nervous system, like how your nervous system is wired. It goes into emotional regulation, but mainly the nervous system, because the nervous system is where you act from. A lot of things are automatic from the nervous system, especially when they're so deeply ingrained into you. You might ask yourself, like, why do you stay in toxic relationships? You know, I stayed in a relationship that wasn't great for me for genuinely probably about 2 years. We're cool now, we're civil, we're good, but I stayed there because my nervous system, all it knew was unpredictability, was chaos, was that constant chase, was the abandonment wounds, and was reliving that constantly and constantly and constantly, like being broken up with, back together, being broken up with, back together. And that was how my nervous system was wired, because that was all I knew. And that abandonment can be physically or emotionally. It can be physically left, or you can be emotionally left. And a lot of mine was emotionally left as well as physically. But a lot of it stemmed from emotionally, and that allowed a lot of the behaviors and the places I stayed to be consistent, because that is all I knew. I didn't know anything different. But I want to let you know, obviously, doing this, and as I'm still doing the work right now, as I'm currently going through the wound of abandonment as I speak on this, is that you can reparent younger you, and that's all you really need, is to go back to the younger version of you and tell her that she is safe, that she is loved. I personally feel nobody else can do that for you. You can feel loved off other people, absolutely. You can feel safe around certain people, but nobody can fill that inner void like yourself. And that's the hardest part, because it's so hard to just sit with those wounds. It's so hard to sit with the emotions. Trust me, I know. And even like I said, currently this week, it's so difficult for me to sit with them. And some days you won't sit with them, and some days you'll go off and you'll do whatever you need to do to avoid, and some days you'll come back to them. And that's the journey. It's a journey of non-judgment. It's not about judging yourself. It's not about beating yourself up to do the work. You know, I don't think that's going to get you very far. And it's about having so much compassion for yourself, for your parents. When you get there, don't be in a rush. You know, if you don't have compassion for your parents right now, that's also okay. Like I said, this is such a weird journey, because it genuinely is a journey of non-judgment. Even though when past memories come up for you, like I know I definitely judge myself a lot for certain like things that came up for me, and I was like, oh my god, why did you do that, you know? And I was judging myself from my adult brain, but when I look back at that version of myself, I'm like, Jesus, she knew no better. She was only doing her best. She was only, yeah, she might have wanted validation, or yeah, she might have done that because of this reason, but at the time I didn't know that. I was doing what I thought was best for me, or what my truth was then. So I will leave you with that, that you are only, I remember getting told that in therapy before years and years ago, and it's always stuck with me, but you are only ever doing your best with what you have. And the same goes for your parents and anyone else you grew up with in your family dynamic. They were only ever doing their best. And you need to remember that, like, people are at such different stages of their life. Think of you at 15 to you now at 25. Completely different life experiences. You're acting and thinking and behaving, and you're completely different to what you were at 15. And that's what you just need to bear in mind as well about when you're looking back on these past emotions or past things that you have gone through. I think to not keep creating the same situations in your life over and over and over again, whether that's through romantic relationships, friendships, you can go inward and you can see what's really creating that. We continue to walk ourselves into the same lessons, just in different bodies, time and time and time again, until we learn that lesson. But yeah, I will leave you with that. You can absolutely heal. You don't have to live from the past. You can reparent your younger child. It will be emotional. It will be whatever it needs to be for you. But I hope you relate in some way. I hope anybody else who's going through this right now can understand or can reach out. Let me know what your thoughts are. Let me know if I can help in any way, or this has just been something nice for you to listen to and feel less alone. Thank you for listening.